Amen. If you'll take your Bibles with me, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter number 22. I love that song, "I Stand Redeemed." Amen. There's nothing good in and of ourselves this morning. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're able to stand here this morning, to open the Word of God, and be able to look at what the Lord has for us this morning. I thank God for salvation this morning. Amen. As I come to you this morning and bring what I believe the Lord will have for us this morning. Once again, as I said in Sunday school, there is nothing new under the sun, so I guarantee you'll not hear anything new this morning, but hopefully be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you and a help to you this morning as we look at the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 22, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. We'll read here a prophetic psalm as the psalmist is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We look at how he begins to speak of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, verse number 13, "They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melteth in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Of course, as we read this portion of Scripture here, we're vividly reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself on the cross of Calvary. As I read this passage of Scripture and I read through the Gospels and we look at how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave Himself for us, I can't get over it. I don't understand it. Why God in the flesh would love me is beyond me. But then to love me enough to give Himself on the cross of Calvary, I don't understand it. What He went through on the cross for us is beyond my comprehension. I mean, I've been injured before, and I feel like I deal with pain decently, but I've never been injured like Jesus was injured. I've never even come close to the pain He must have endured that day. Historians tell us that many people who were beaten by the cat of nine tails that Jesus was beaten by would die before they ever got to the cross, just from the beating that He took. I've played sports before, and I've had an opposing member spit in my face before. And one of the most humiliating and one thing that most people cannot stand above anything else is to be spat upon. But Jesus endured that. They grabbed the beard of Jesus Christ and ripped it out of His face. I mean, I can't hardly even pull one hair out of my head without cringing, amen? But Jesus went through all that for us. Then if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This is the text that we'll take this morning in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Man, I like how that verse starts. He's the author and He's the finisher of the faith. There's nothing that I have to do. He's the one that came up with it. He's the one that finished it. The Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Man, as I read that verse of Scripture, and I came to that verse of Scripture in my Bible, the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." When I think of the cross, I don't think of joy. I'll just be honest with you. When you look at what happened that day on the cross of Calvary, the first thing that comes to your mind is not joy. The first thing that comes to your mind is pain. The first thing that comes to your mind is shame. The first thing that comes to your mind is the fact that He felt alone, that all His disciples were gone when He needed them most. They weren't with Him during the judgment time. They weren't with Him. They left Him. The Bible says they all left Him. Peter followed Him afar off. And we think of those things, but the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." This morning, I just want to talk to us for a few minutes about the joy that was set before him. Or joy on crucifixion day. Man, it's hard to think of joy on crucifixion day, but that day on the cross of Calvary, there was some joy in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was some joy that was taking place. And I want to look at some reasons why there was joy on crucifixion day. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I beg you once again to use us. Lord, we don't deserve anything, but Lord, I pray that you'll take something this morning that you'd have me to say. I pray you'll not let me say anything that you wouldn't say if you were standing in my place. And Holy Spirit of God, direct my thoughts, direct my words. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to draw closer to you this morning. Dear Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today will be the day of their salvation. Lord, those of us who have accepted you as our Savior, I pray that today will be the day that we'll draw closer to you. And Lord, help us never to stray from you. We'll help you. We'll be faithful and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything that's done today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Joy on crucifixion day. I think, number one, the joy that Jesus Christ had and the joy that took place on crucifixion day was the joy of a confessing sinner. You see, Jesus Christ came for a purpose. It was not the purpose to heal the blinded eyes that Jesus came. It was not the purpose of healing the lame man that sat by the way. That's not the reason that Jesus came. Jesus Christ healed and raised many dead from the grave. I think of Lazarus. I think of the widow's son. And Jesus did those things. I think of Jairus' daughter and how that Jesus rose them from the grave. I think of how Jesus turned the water into wine. I think of how Jesus healed the lepers. I think of how Jesus did these many mighty acts while he was here on this earth. But that was not the reason that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came. He came for one purpose and one purpose alone. He came to purchase our way of salvation. I've had people tell me before that if Jesus Christ, or if the people had have turned to Jesus Christ and claimed him as their Messiah, then he never would have had to die. I don't believe that for a second. Because the Bible says that was the reason that Jesus did come. He came for the purpose of dying. He did not come to rule and reign. He came to die. Now the next time he comes, he'll come to rule and reign. But the first time he came to die, to purchase our salvation. And I believe that Jesus that day, as he hung on the cross, I believe he thought of old Nicodemus as he was nailed there. Hey, think with me. Not long ago, Nicodemus had come to Jesus. And he says, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God. He called him Rabbi. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Hey, and the cry is still the same today. You must be born again. There is not salvation in any other way than being born again. I love those Bible terms. People say, you're just old-fashioned. Well, if you want to call me old-fashioned, that's fine, but it's in the Bible. Your Bible says you must be born again. And I'm glad that for the day that I was born again, amen? And Nicodemus, I believe Jesus thought of Nicodemus as he hung on the cross. Man, I'm doing this for Nicodemus. I think that Jesus, as he hung on the cross, he probably thought of Mary Magdalene. How he had cast the devils out of her and how that she had received him as her Savior. I believe as Jesus hung there that day, he probably thought of Mary and of Martha and of Lazarus, those that he loved, that he was giving his life for. I believe he thought of them that day. I believe their faces were in his mind. I believe they were on his heart. I believe he thought of the Samaritan woman that he gave that water, that living water, that she would never thirst again. That day as she sat by the well. And I believe that Jesus saw her. And I believe that her face was on his mind. And I believe that he remembered how that she went back into the city. And she went and told them. He said, hey, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And he saw her as she came back out of the city. And all those people followed her out of there. And people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because of her testimony. And then many more believed because they heard him themselves, the Bible says. I believe their faces were on the mind of Jesus Christ. I believe that every person that came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in his earthly ministry, I believe he thought of that day. But you know what? I believe he thought of me that day. I believe he thought of a 16-year-old boy who grew up in church but didn't really care much about God. He was just playing games, just living a lie. Just appeasing my parents, But he thought of me that night on a Wednesday night when I would sit on the front pew. The preacher would preach. And the Holy Spirit of God would speak to my heart again. And I would yield my heart to Him. Amen. And receive Him as my personal Savior. I believe the Lord saw me that day. I believe the Lord saw you that day. I believe the Lord saw you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe the Lord saw you as well. Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad that I serve a whosoever will kind of God, who died for the sins of all mankind. He didn't die for one group and not another. He died for all who will just put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there was joy on crucifixion day. Hey, there was joy in the heart of Jesus Christ as He hung there on the cross, knowing that what He was going through and knowing what He was doing was for the souls of all mankind. I believe there was joy in Jesus' heart. But you know what? I believe there was joy in God the Father's heart. I believe there is joy in the Holy Spirit's heart. Hey, and the Bible says there's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. And the Bible doesn't say that the angels rejoice. He said there's joy in the presence of angels. That means that God the Father rejoices. That means that God the Son rejoices. That means that God the Holy Spirit rejoices. Hey, that means our family members that are already in heaven are rejoicing. Amen. When one comes to Him. Hey, there's joy on that day. There was joy on crucifixion day. And the joy that Jesus had on crucifixion day is the joy He still has today, and that is that of a confessing sinner. I believe not only was there the joy of the confessing sinner that day, but I believe that there was the joy in Jesus' heart of the conforming saint. You know what brings joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's when the Christian becomes more like the Savior. I mean, that is why we're here this morning, is it not?
Right.
You know, we don't just come to church to appease our conscience, do we? We come for a purpose. We come to learn how to be more like the Master. That's why we come. And Jesus Christ, it is His desire for us to be close to Him and to be more like Him. The Bible tells us that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, I'm glad that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were, what did we say before? We were born again. And there was a new birth that took place. And we were a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now we have the new man that lives inside of us. And we have the old man that we still have to battle. Because we're still sinners, we're bound by this old sinful flesh. Hey, but one of these days, I'm going to drop this old robe of flesh, and I'm going to rise to be with Jesus, and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hey, I'm looking forward to that day. But you know what? Until then, we're to be more like Him every day. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Amen. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, we have to renew our minds to be transformed. We have to renew our mind. How do we renew our mind? The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Amen.
The only way that we can purify our mind and purify our heart and transform into the image of Jesus Christ is being in the Word of God.
Right.
That's why we're here this morning. Right. To hear the Word of God preached. To hear the Word of God sung. To draw closer to the Lord of God, to the Holy Spirit of God. Let the Holy Spirit of God draw us closer to the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we read our Bible every day. Or that's why we should read our Bible every day. That's why we should pray. You know, there was joy in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as He looked. You know what? I love nothing more. I've gotten to be in the ministry for quite a while. Been around the ministry my whole life. But I guess I've been in the ministry for about 12 years now, something like that. 10 years? 12? I lost track. My hair is too gray. As it gets grayer, I lose my mind, I guess. I don't know. I can't remember. We've been in the ministry a little while, but you know what? I've gotten the opportunity of seeing some young people. And I see God work in their life. I see young people that have grown up in church. When I first met Brian, he was 8 years old. That's how old I am. He was eight. His dad actually preached for the tour group that I traveled with. And I've seen God work in Brian's life. He was not a rebellious young man. He didn't run out with the world. But he did have some of his own plans and his own dreams that he had to give up to God. Then I've seen God take other young people who came into church a little bit later in life, who was not exposed to the things of God at a young age. I've seen them accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've seen God change their habits. I've seen God work in... No, I'm not talking about a list of rules. I'm talking about a relationship with God. Now, I believe we should have rules. I believe we should. But our rules should come from the Word of God, not from the pen of man. And we should learn to live like the Savior. The Bible says that we are to live holy, acceptable unto God. Amen? I'm not going to spend long here, but the Bible tells us that we are to be, you know, we are to grow in grace. We are to allow others to grow in grace. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Hey, we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just an old dumb Georgia boy, but how do you grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? By getting in the Word of God. And as we get in the Word of God, I believe we bring joy to the heart of God by being obedient to God and drawing closer to Him and conforming our life to His life. Why is it that we as Christians think that we can do what we want to do when God Almighty gave Himself to die on the cross for our sins? We have no right. We've been bought with a price, and we are to conform unto His image. I believe it brings joy. I believe it brought joy to the heart of God on crucifixion day as He hung there and He saw Peter. Oh, Peter, the apostle, the one who accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, but then denied Him three times. And you know what? Peter hadn't come back to Jesus yet at that point. He had gone out and wept bitterly. But his fellowship hadn't been restored to Jesus at that point. Jesus was on the cross. But you know what? I know what brought joy to the heart of Jesus that day, because He was God. And He could look down just a few days down the road and He could see Peter out there fishing. And He could say, hey, y'all come and dine. Y'all, that's Jesus was a Southerner, amen? No, I'm just joking. He said, come and dine. And they came over to Jesus and He had a conversation with Peter. And He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, Thou knowest I love Thee. He said, well, feed my lambs. A little bit later, He said, Peter, do you love me? I believe Peter. He said, Lord, You know I love You. He said, feed my sheep. And the last time He said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. He said, I just want to make sure. And He gave Peter that chance to draw closer to Him. And from that day forward, you never see in Scripture where Peter ran from God again. You don't see him running from God. Oh, he still made mistakes. He's human. But he never ran from God again. I'm glad to know that God sees us, and He sees how where we were when we started. And He sees us where we will be when He comes for us again or when we die. And it brings joy to the heart of God as we become more like Him. I believe Jesus had joy that day because of that conforming saint. But He also had joy in His heart because of a consecrated servant. You know what brings joy to the heart of God? Not only when we become more like Him, and as we become more like Him, this is kind of a progress as well. We get to a point in our life to where we say, Lord, I don't know what You want from me, but I'll do whatever it is You have for me. I'll give my life for You. Lord, I'll give my life to be a soul winner for You. Lord, I'll give my life to be a Sunday school teacher for You. Lord, I'll give my life to be a bus driver for You. Lord, I'll give my life to be a bus worker for You. Lord, I'll give my life to sing in the choir for You. Lord, I'll give my life to do whatever it is You'll have for me. Lord, I don't have to know what it is. All I have to know is that I give myself to You. Hey, are you consecrated to God? Hey, that's what brings joy to the heart of God. I believe it with all my heart. Hey, the Bible tells us that we are to yield ourselves to Him. In Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says, whom we yield ourselves servants to obey, His servants we are to whom we obey. Whether of obedience unto righteousness or sin unto death. We have a choice. And we as Christians are to yield unto God. Hey, you know what? God is not going to twist your arm and make you serve Him. He's not going to do it. Now, He'll call you. And if you don't answer, He'll call you again. And He may call you louder. And He may call you stronger. But sooner or later, it's up to you whether or not you serve Him. Because He's not going to make you. He's long-suffering, thank the Lord. But He's not going to make you serve Him. It's up to us. But you know what brings joy to the heart of God? It's just when we obey Him. And we say, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I have three kids. He was talking about the size of my family. I have three kids. My daughter's 9. I have a son who's 7. He just turned 7. And a son that's 3. You know what? I have to correct them quite often. The tour group knows. They hear me in the van all the time. Turn around. Sit straight. Stop hitting your brother. I have to correct them. You know what brings joy to my heart? When I don't have to correct them. When I just tell them to do something and they do it. I enjoy that. I don't enjoy having to spank them. I don't enjoy having to make them do what they're supposed to do or encourage them to do what they're supposed to do with whatever means the Lord gives me. Amen? Backside. God is the same way. He would like it if we would just do what He asked us to do. He asked us to give our all. You know, that verse of Scripture I quoted earlier in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, the first verse, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word beseech means beg. He's begging us. You say, well, Paul was saying that. No, God Almighty was saying that through the Holy Spirit of God. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does God want from us? He wants us to present ourselves a living sacrifice. You say, Brother Montgomery, I'm 90 years old. You can still present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. You say, well, Brother Montgomery, I'm only 12 years old. You can still present your body a living sacrifice to God. You say, Brother Montgomery, you don't understand my circumstance. I don't have to understand your circumstance. God wants us to give our all. It doesn't matter who we are. God didn't put any stipulation on it. He just wants us to give ourselves to Him. And I believe it brought joy to the heart of God as God Almighty was hanging there on the cross in the form of man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung on the cross for our sins. I believe that day on the cross of Calvary, He looked down through time and He saw those that would give their life to serve Him throughout all time and say, Lord, I'll never give up on You. I'll never quit on You. I'm going to stay faithful to You. And I believe it brought Him joy that day. This morning, you know you can bring joy to the heart of God if you'll just give yourself to Him. You know what? God was looking down. Jesus was looking down three times as He hung on the cross. And He looked at your life. He looked at my life. And it either brought Him joy or it brought Him disappointment. The Bible says there was joy on crucifixion day for the joy that was set before Him. So, Brother Montgomery, how do you know that He looked through time? The Bible says it was set before Him, didn't He? It was in front of Him. Not only a consecrated servant, but the Bible also tells us that we are to be a contending soldier. And I believe that as we contend for the cause of Christ and we become that contending soldier, we bring joy to the heart of God as well. What does the Bible say in the book of Jude? The Bible tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. Verse number 3 of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Why? Verse number 4. Why should we earnestly contend for the faith? Why should we know what the Bible says and stand for it? The Bible tells us right here. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were born of old, ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we live in a world today that there are people all over the place that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're taking the grace of God and turning it into something sensual and ungodly, and we as Christians are to contend for the faith. We either stand up and say, no, that's not right. A Christian's not to live that way. A Christian's not to act that way. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, it's the Bible opinion. And I believe it brings joy to the heart of God. You say, well, Christians are not supposed to be militant. They're not supposed to be contending. Well, somebody forgot to tell the Bible that. Because the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. If we weren't to fight, why would we need armor? Why would He give us a sword? We're to contend. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, and just like God uses His people to work for Him, Satan uses people to work for him. So, Brother Montgomery, I just don't know if I could do that. If you'll just yield yourself to the Lord, say, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to stand for whatever the Bible says. Well, that's what God wants us to do. And as a Christian says, Lord, I'm going to stand for the truths of God's Word, I believe it brings joy to the heart of God. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus is the Word. So if Jesus is the Word, and I stand for the Word, don't you think Jesus would be happy with that? The Bible says in John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. This is what Jesus Christ has given us to show us Himself. This is all of Jesus Christ that He has given to us is right here in the Word of God. Everything we need to know about Jesus Christ is right here. And we're to stand for it. And the truths that He teaches in His Word. Not only does a contending soldier bring Him joy, but lastly, and I'll be done, I believe that a consistent spreader brings joy to the heart of God. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about sowing the seed of the gospel. Spreading the gospel. Are you a consistent spreader? Are you an inconsistent spreader? Or do you spread it all? You know what? We should be giving the gospel out to those around us. I pick up tracts everywhere we go at different churches so that I can have them to give out while we're on the road. And thank God for people in Taco Bell's and McDonald's and gas stations who have gotten a gospel track and been asked the question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Right. No, I don't know that. We've been able to take a Bible and show them from the Word of God how they can know for sure they're on the way to heaven. You know, it doesn't take much to hand a gospel track to somebody, to give that seed. It doesn't take much to ask the question, do you know you're on your way to heaven? It doesn't take much to be able to take the Bible and follow through the plan of salvation and see someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, that's what brings joy to the heart of God. Hey, Christian, are you a consistent spreader? Are you concerned about lost souls? The Bible says also in the book of Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Hey, Christian, are you concerned? I didn't ask this morning if you're faithful to church. I asked if you're concerned. Are you concerned enough to give the gospel to someone? Hey, you know what? Every time you give the gospel to someone, it brings joy to the heart of God. It not only brings joy when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but it also brings joy for the fact that you were obedient to what God told you to do. So, what did God tell me to do? The Bible says, go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we're all to go. You know what? That command was not just to the pastor. It was not just to the church staff. It was to the church. And church, it is our job, our responsibility, our duty to give the gospel to a lost and a dying world. And when we do that, it brings joy to the heart of God. I believe as Jesus was hanging on the cross that day, some 2,000 years ago plus, as Jesus hung on the cross, He thought of the confessing sinner. He said, man, this is worth it. This is worth it. As He hung there on the cross, He thought of that conforming saint, the one that would grow closer to Him and be more like Him. And He said, man, it's worth it. Man, it hurts right now. Man, but what joy it's bringing. He thought of that consecrated servant, the one that would just do anything for God. And He brought joy to His heart. He thought of that contending soldier, that one that would stand for truth. Say, I'm not going to change. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to stay faithful to the Word of God. And it brought Him joy. And it brought Him joy as He saw us as Christians giving the gospel to a lost and a dying world whose only hope is Jesus Christ. There's no program that is the hope for America. There is no gimmick that is the hope for America. There is no political party that is the hope for America. The hope for America is churches just like this all across America, giving the gospel to a lost and a dying world. Are you involved in it? Are you part of it? Are you bringing joy to the heart of God?